if you want the truth, I can tell. I'll just say this as I wish you farewell. I hope you're somewhere praying, praying. I hope your soul is changing, changing. I hope you find your peace, falling on your knees.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Towers, and we're going to talk music, and, well, you know, music's biggest night, quote-unquote, happened on Sunday night, and it was the Grammys, and Jim Ryan is with us. You can read him in the Daily Herald and Chicago Now blog, which is at Chicago at Night, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Radio Jim Ryan. We always love to talk about music. We've got concerts to talk about and other things, but the Grammys, obviously, the big music story of the past couple of days. And coming back here from commercial, that was Kesha with Praying from the Grammys. And Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
That was an astonishing performance.
Yeah, I think she stole the show.
Completely.
That was amazing.
I've never been a huge fan of Kesha.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
And, I mean, her story is heartbreaking and compelling.
Yes.
Her real life story is heartbreaking and compelling, and what she's going through, especially, you know, in the current situation and you know, everything that's coming to light now. In the music industry and work and every industry.
Right.
That was incredible. And to have all those women up there, you know, behind her and the choir, it was insane. I mean, I welled up. I thought it was beautiful.
And she was clearly extremely emotional.
Clearly.
I mean, she was clearly in the moment there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just sounded phenomenal.
She sounded amazing. And so many luminaries behind her. Cyndi Lauper, for God's sake.
Cyndi Lauper was up there, yeah. Amazing.
That was one of the highlights, if not the highlight, of the performances.
Agreed.
At the Grammys. Yeah. I mean, like, really powerhouse stuff. Like, really amazing. And you know, Corden comes out crying. Everybody, they show people in the audience crying. And deservedly so. I mean, it was incredibly powerful. And to see the embracing after the song had ended.
There were women up on stage who were crying, who were in the choir with her. Yeah, it was really something to see. And, I mean, it kind of tied into what I think became one of the biggest themes of the evening, which was Time's Up. And, you know, the white roses that everybody was wearing were in symbolism of that. So it kind of all came together at that particular
moment. Yeah, they did. You know, and I think so far we've had a few major, because it's award season, obviously, and we've had a few major award shows. I think they're handling the current temperament very interestingly and well.
Yeah, I think interestingly is the great word there, because traditionally, especially the Grammys, they stay way away from anything controversial or political.
Right.
So the fact that they went there immediately, almost at the beginning of the show, I mean, Lady Gaga threw a reference in almost right off the top of the show.
Yeah.
That's not what the Grammys usually do.
No. And then everybody's talking about the bit that Corden did with the celebrities reading from Fire and Fury.
See, now, I'm not a Corden fan, but I actually laughed at that.
I did, too. Here's the thing. I remember that you don't like James Corden, and the last time you were on, I defended him. I can't defend him anymore.
Okay.
Because, you know, I leave for work around midnight.
Right.
You know, every night. And Dan is kind enough. You know, he lives very close to me, so we drive in together. He drives us in. And so sometimes, because I always save Seth Meyers for the morning.
Sure.
So I DVR Seth, and I'll watch the first half hour of Corden. And I've been doing that now pretty regularly.
Okay.
And the only time I ever watch Corden or DVR Corden is when he's got guests on that I like or really like. Because I can't take it.
But people do love him.
They do.
What's the appeal?
I don't know.
Because I can't figure it out.
I think the carpool karaoke thing has really taken off and people like that. That's fine. That's fun.
Sure. It's kitschy. Yeah.
And that's what he's strong at. He's strong at being goofy and singing and that kind of stuff.
And just comes across like the nice guy. Is it that?
But yeah. And it's also like when he try, and you can't do a late night show now and do a monologue and not talk about Trump.
That was my next question. You can't do it.
It's terrible when he does it.
Does he?
Oh yeah. No. Oh yeah. Every night. And it's more embarrassing than Fallon when Fallon does it. I'm not kidding, especially when you're up against guys like Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, and now Jimmy Kimmel, who's coming
out, is killing with that stuff. At the top of his game with that
stuff. But Corden drives me nuts now. So I have little patience for James Corden now.
I was shocked to see them do that segment.
Yeah.
Especially that it was pre-recorded. It wasn't even a live, you know, attack on Trump.
Yeah, but it was fine. I mean, when Hillary showed up at the numbers.
Oh, was very fired up.
Nikki Haley, she tweeted out, "We don't want politics in our music." Really? Really? Politics shouldn't be part of music? What? Really?
Now, did you see that the ratings were way down this year?
Yeah.
They've kind of started to seize on that as a reason that the ratings were down, even though it came like three quarters of the way into the show.
Oh, because of that bit specifically? Well, here's the thing. It's like, oh, we don't want politics in it. The entire show was political.
Yeah.
There was a political statement in almost everything.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because the Grammys never do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was. It was the whole show.
Yeah. And I thought U2 was great.
I was all set to not like U2, and I thought they nailed that.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, and their new album's great. Have you heard their new album?
I do like the new album.
Yeah, it's great.
It's better than the last one.
Yep.
But in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty.
I thought it was cool, man.
That message was even stronger.
There's the thing. You know what? Like, you put any other band in there. You know, like, here's the idea, man. We're going to have you guys out there, and you're going to be in the shadow of the
on a barge.
On a barge in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And you're going to do this song, and you're going to take on immigration, and then... Only you two could get away with that.
Yeah.
You put anybody else out there, you'd be like, oh, give me a break.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, like Bono just oozes earnesty. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so earnest. And
they're seizing the moment with this, too. Have you seen the video for that song?
Yeah.
The video, there's a lot of political references in there, too. I mean, I think literally they have a scene in the video where the KKK is at the White House. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
pretty strong imagery. They're not
quite
down.
Not quite Roger Waters strong.
Yeah, but in an era where everything is so divisive, you know, I think for artists it's difficult, and often there's a price to be paid.
Yeah,
they're certainly not worried about that.
And it was a great performance. One of the best performances of the night. I also. Yeah. Pink rules.
She's great.
Let's just, you know, just say that right now. She rules. And I just love everything that she does.
It was a unique performance from her because it's so, you know, totally polar opposite of what you normally get from her when she's up on the...
A trampoline or whatever she's...
The trapeze
swinging around.
I mean, she was up there just singing her heart out.
Yeah, and she can belt, man.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Batiste and Gary Clark Jr., great.
Yeah.
Just great.
Gary Clark Jr. rocking out some Chuck Berry. I'll take that every time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the best.
All of the tributes were pretty good.
Yeah, they were.
Shockingly.
Yeah, they were. Because sometimes they're bad.
Sometimes they're really
bad. And in the past, there have been some real... I think, if I remember correctly, the Prince tribute was pretty weak.
Yeah, and then people were kind of torn on Bowie last year with Lady Gaga.
Oh, I hated it. I hated it.
Yeah.
Oh.
The only one I didn't like this year, because I thought Chris Stapleton and Emmylou Harris were phenomenal doing Petty.
I agree.
I wasn't big on the country artists covering Clapton as in reference, I guess, to the shootings and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that was a little mixed up.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
You hate Sting.
And I put the caveat on this that I love the Police.
Well,
I just hate him.
Yeah, I can understand that. But Sting is one of those guys that I've been stuck... defending for many, many years, way past the past due. You know what I mean?
I'm listening.
All my friends are like, why do you still like Sting? And it's hard for me. I really, Jim, think it has everything to do with the fact that the Police meant so much to me.
Well, yeah.
At a formidable time in my life. You know, I was telling you off the air, I went to high school between 1979 and 1983.
Okay.
Their first album came out in 1979. Their last album came out in 1983. Basically, their entire career consisted of my high school experience and the summer after, because they toured with Synchronicity for a while after that.
But his solo stuff, almost all of it, and especially in the last 15 or 20 years, has been one spectacular misfire after
I
another.
Disagree.
What do you like about
I think
it?
Dream of the Blue Turtles is great. I think Nothing Like the Sun is phenomenal. That's one of my favorite. We were just talking about Desert Island Discs a couple of weeks ago, and I included...
Do you like Fields of Gold?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
But I, you know, and I go up to, he had one, the 40, the one from New York, the 45th, and last year it came out.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was kind of his return to rock.
Yeah, and it was solid. It was solid. It was fine.
That was all right.
I saw The Last Ship before it bombed on Broadway.
Were you excited to see him do Englishman in New York?
I love Englishman in New York. It's on Nothing Like the Sun. So, I know, man.
Was it appropriate for a Grammy broadcast in 2018, though?
For me, it was. Where I, because I don't know who the hell half these people were last night. So to see Sting sing that, I was like, oh, I'm old.
So that's exactly my point with that last night, because they trotted him out there right after Cardi B came on.
I know.
like, way to hold the audience.
It's fine with me. It held me. So anyway, but I just find it funny that so many people hate Sting. And I understand. And here's the thing. It's not like I'm delusional. You know what I mean? I can totally understand why people hate Sting. And I, you know.
How do you feel about Shaggy?
I think this thing is interesting, this combination.
Are you going to listen to it?
Of course I am. Sting's on it. But it's interesting. When I first heard about it, I was like, is this The Onion?
That was kind of real. That's kind of the general internet response to that pairing, yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, overall, what did you think of the broadcast? I think there were highs and lows.
I thought it was extraordinarily mediocre. I sat down and I watched it a second time and tried to put together a list of what I thought was great and what I thought was awful.
Okay.
And there was very little that made either list. I thought everything was just right down the middle.
Right, which is worse, I think.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really boring broadcast.
Yeah.
And three and a half hours, man. That's too long.
Yeah. The thing about the Grammys, and this is, you know, how it's been for 15, 20 years now, it's not about the awards. It's about the performances.
They gave out 9 awards.
Right.
There were 84
total
Grammy categories, and they put 9 of them on television.
That's right. And they do that every year, though, because it becomes about the performances.
Because people complained when there were too many awards.
Right. So they basically do 9 awards.
And now I'm complaining.
And Bruno won 7 of them.
And yet none of the majors. That was the big story coming out of it, was that the Grammys are finally embracing rap and hip-hop, which they've been historically so poor at doing. And then, you know, Kendrick Lamar gets shut out of all of the major categories.
So does Jay-Z.
Bruno Mars.
So did Jay-Z.
And so Jay-Z, I was reading today, I didn't realize this, he had boycotted the Grammys from like the late 90s to the early 2000s until Beyonce started getting nominated. Then he went back. But he was essentially boycotting the Grammys because of the fact that they had no idea how to handle rap and hip-hop.
Oh.
He was asked to perform this year, apparently, and turned him down.
Well, maybe that's the reason why he didn't get a single award. Because Bruno Mars, he'll perform at the drop of a hat.
Yes, he will.
No pun intended. but I like Bruno Mars.
I do too.
You know, and I'm, you know, I think his album is solid and fun and cool.
I was kind of not blown away last night, though.
No, I wasn't either. I didn't think it was great.
It was very middle of the road for him. I mean, it reminded me of Belviv DeVoe. It did not sound like what I expect from Bruno Mars.
Which I don't think is a bad thing, by the way.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but...
And you also commented as you were live tweeting that you were happy that there wasn't a whole lot of Corden.
I definitely felt like he was kind of minimized, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, which is fine.
And I mean, with the ratings down, we won't get a third year of him, that's for sure.
No. So, some of the performances were extraordinary. The winners themselves, you know, Bruno Mars basically dominated the night.
Yeah.
But the performances, I think the two standout performances by far are U2 and Kesha.
And I would throw Childish Gambino in there.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty terrific,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. I really do think that the performance of the night and the emotional high point of the entire evening was Kesha. Without question.
I think that show peaked at U2 because it went Kesha to U2, and then to me the rest of the night was downhill from there.
Yeah, those were the highlights. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And
yeah,
that was
the peak of the show.
That last hour or so just crawled.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Bruno Mars, he won everything.
He certainly did.
He certainly did. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. Jim, you've seen some shows we want to talk about.
I have.
And some other cool stuff. Jim Ryan is with us. We're talking music. We got a break for the news. And then we'll talk more right after this on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the Owning Bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, 2 songs. 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about the best movie villains of all time. And we got another celebrity name game happening. That was Honey and the 45s and the song Speak. And you recently, Jim Ryan is my guest. You recently interviewed them.
Yeah, they were got them at the end of December, and they've had a couple shows here recently. They were at Lincoln Hall a couple weeks back. And a terrific new EP out, Speak, which we just heard from.
All right. That's Jim Ryan.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Read him in the Daily Herald and Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. Follow him on Twitter, at Radio Jim Ryan. We were talking before the news about the Grammys.
Yes.
The highs and lows. And Jim reminded me during the commercial break and during the news that it remind me of the category that we talked about last year that just was hilarious.
I believe it was Best Classical... Best Classical, I believe. I forget what the specific.
Right.
But it was one of the classical categories. And, you know, you had nominees last year like the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Right.
The Chicago Symphony Orchestra was up against Kip Winger in the classical composition category.
She's only 17.
Yes.
Kip Winger with his hair.
Put out an instrumental album and somehow it's up for a...
Did he win?
He did not win.
No,
unfortunately.
Okay, Kip did not wing. Poor wing. He did not winger. So you decided there was some weird, because you know, as you mentioned before the break, Jim, there are 84 different categories.
Correct.
Okay, so
overkill.
Yeah, and I was talking about this yesterday morning when we did a quick recap of the Grammys yesterday,
okay.
And I said that one year I was here and getting ready, doing prep to talk about the Grammys. And I clicked on, print up all nominees and winners. And about 4,500 pages came out of the printer. And I was it was like War and Peace.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the stranger nominees and categories that you you looked at this year's Grammys?
The one that was drawing a lot of comparisons this morning to Metallica and Jethro Tull was the winner for Best Rock Performance. You had... artists like Chris Cornell nominated. Mm. The Foo Fighters were nominated. They lost to Leonard Cohen.
Wait.
Best rock performance, Leonard Cohen.
What?
And I it's nothing against Leonard Cohen.
No, of course not.
Would you throw him in a category with Chris Cornell and the Foo Fighters?
Now, was that the only possibility for him to win something posthumously?
I don't know, but I would have thought Chris Cornell was
because he's actually in that category.
For that same reason, yeah.
Right. Wow. Okay, that's weird.
We had a Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album. I just thought you'd enjoy this grouping of artists who were nominated.
Okay.
Michael Bublé, Bob Dylan for a 3-album set of standards covers.
Yes.
Triplicate.
Yep.
Seth MacFarlane, Sarah McLachlan, and Tony Bennett. That's quite an odd grouping of...
Who won?
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that is weird. That is very strange.
Our new colonel, Reba McEntire, took home the Grammy for Best Roots Gospel Album.
Roots Gospel?
Yeah, I can't explain that one.
Yeah. I
wasn't curious enough to pull it up on Spotify.
No, okay, I understand.
We had Lisa Loeb, one for Best Children.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
She's still around?
Lisa Loeb.
Wow.
Apparently making children's albums.
Okay.
Best Children's Album, Lisa Loeb. This is one of those categories, I think, where name recognition with the idiots who vote for this stuff goes a long way.
Yeah.
Because they see one name on there that they recognize and they just vote for
that. Reality Bites.
Uh-huh.
And then they check it off.
They check the box. Yeah, Lisa Loeb.
Oh, man.
Best Recording Package. We had a tie. I didn't know you could tie.
Oh,
at the Grammys.
Now, this is like just packaging of an album, right?
Yeah,
like,
this is what I think. Like the liner notes. And,
yeah. All right.
We had a tie.
All right.
I didn't know it was possible. Father John Misty was one of the two, and another artist whose name I can't pronounce.
Okay.
So, a tie.
Okay.
Didn't know that was a thing. Best Engineered Album, non-classical. Bruno Mars won that and beat out Roger Waters and K-Flay.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
I think my favorite one, actually, on this entire list, Best Dance Electronic Album, so the EDM stuff, I was curious to see how Kraftwerk could have possibly won. They won for a live album.
No, they won it for a live album.
They put out a live album last year, and a live Kraftwerk album beats brand new electronic and dance music.
This reminds me of a joke that I threw into this. I did an adaptation of High Fidelity for the stage back in 1998, and it was called The Vinyl Shop. And one of the jokes was the character of Barry that Jack Black plays. Well, a different actor obviously played him in my show. A guy named Matt O'Neill played him, and he and Dick and Rob are talking about music. Oddly enough, in the record store, because you know that's the entire book essentially in the entire movie. And so Barry was bitching about not being able to put a poster up of his band on the wall.
Sure.
They don't allow, you know, Rob's like, no, I'm not putting, because you're in a crap band.
Right.
And it's like, and he's like, what do you mean crap band? He's like, yeah, it's like Kraftwerk Unplugged. So that's like one of my favorite lines. Because Kraftwerk Unplugged is quiet.
It would be nothing.
So anyway, but they won. Good for Kraftwerk.
Yeah, they were nominated for two Grammys, by the way. They only took home one.
Oh.
They were also nominated for Best Surround Sound Album. For a live album.
What? Uh-huh. Boy, the categories are just really weirdly specific.
84 of them, Nick.
Wow. Oh, man.
I did note this one because I thought you'd be curious. Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media. So best soundtrack. I'll give you the nominees.
Okay.
Tell me who you think would have won. La La Land,
mm-hmm.
Moana, Hidden Figures, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Baby Driver.
Well, my vote would be Baby Driver.
My vote would be Baby Driver as well.
But my guess is like Hidden Figures.
La La Land.
La La Land, of course.
Best soundtrack.
Yeah.
But because I thought you and I talked about it one time, that Baby Driver soundtrack is terrific.
It's amazing.
It's like such an integral part of the movie,
no
too.
No question about it. Yeah. That should have won.
Didn't win.
Yeah. All right. Well, La La Land needed another award. Well, you know what? They were making up for the fact that they thought it was Best Picture for 14 seconds.
Yeah.
There's so.
And I also thought you would enjoy that Amy Mann beat Cat Stevens to take home Best Folk Album. So there you go.
I do like that, actually. I love Amy Mann.
Grammy oddities.
Oh yeah, there it is. All right. So Jim, you get to see a lot of shows. What have you seen lately?
I saw the Killers a week ago.
They were over at the UC, right?
Sold out the United Center.
That's amazing.
It is incredible to me.
Yeah.
They've over the last 5 years they sold out UIC Pavilion, then they sold out Northern Rhode Island. They headlined Lollapalooza last year, and it was absolutely packed. I couldn't believe how packed it was.
And now they're headlining, and they sold out.
No opener of any note.
Wow.
Yeah, sold out United Center. It's their first number one album.
I've only seen them once, and it was years ago.
Okay.
And
that was the time to see them, by the way.
I liked them. Yeah. You know, I mean, they were, when the first album came out, everybody went nuts. But yeah, I mean, I saw them. I mean, this is like, I want to say 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah, that's 2004 was the debut.
It was the debut? It was 2004?
Hard to believe it's that long ago on the Killers.
Okay. But well, yeah, then that's probably when I saw them.
Okay.
And I thought they were fine.
Where was it at, by the way?
Geez, where was it?
Were they still in the club, I'm guessing?
Yeah, they were. I want to say River or Aragon. Yeah, River, Aragon.
Nice.
One of those two, and I can't remember. I think it was the Riv.
Okay.
The Riv, yeah.
I mean,
so, well, how were they?
They were good. They, you know, they're an interesting.
And how did they handle that huge room?
So they're. Brandon Flowers has the whole knee up on the monitor thing down pat. That's his go-to move. You see that a lot.
Uh-huh.
But they're interesting now because their bass player and their guitar player do not tour with them. They just only want to do the studio. So the Killers go out and you have two of the original members.
And then they hire Guns for Hire just to...
It was the same way last year at Lollapalooza.
That's weird.
So it's weird, but it's fine. I mean, they sounded good. The crowd was crazy into it.
Yeah.
Have you heard their new single, I'm the Man?
No, I have not.
Singing about how he's got money in the bank and gas in the tank. I'm the Man.
Come on.
It's about as creatively bereft as anything.
Is that right?
Done, and the album went to number one. It's their first number one album.
Yeah. It's their first number one album?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's incredible.
So the Killers at the United Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I haven't listened to them.
You're not missing much.
Yeah. So, did you see him at Lollapalooza? You were.
I caught the beginning of them at Lollapalooza and then left to go, I think, Foo Fighters at Metro.
Yeah, you made the right choice.
Yeah, I caught about 3 or 4 songs. So I was curious to see them at United Center because I had never seen a full set. They were good, but I wouldn't pay.
They announced some concerts for Wrigley this year that are...
Yeah, some interesting ones.
Well, Pearl Jam's good. Coming back, so I'm
that's
going.
Fantastic. That's fantastic.
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters will be good. Two nights, by the way.
Two nights for Foo Fighters, which doesn't surprise me.
That's 80,000 people.
That doesn't surprise
that's
me.
Crazy.
It really doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
They're great, and they're massive.
But now going back to the Grammys last night, I think one of the biggest stories coming out of the Grammys, in addition to Time's Up, was the fact that there was no celebration of rock in any way, shape, or form. U2 is the closest thing to rock.
Yeah.
The Foo Fighters won an award, and they didn't even televise it.
Right. That's amazing.
I mean, that the most, you know, commercial-friendly rock band. They couldn't crack TV last night.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
It is unbelievable. Billy Joel
is playing five straight years, I think, now.
Yeah. Is Elton... No, Elton John's not. No, Elton John's touring
United
in the fall.
Center.
He's at the United Center.
Two nights at United Center.
Yeah, because it's his final tour.
Right.
Who's the country?
I know Def Leppard and Journey.
Oh, that's right, Def Leppard and Journey.
Def Leppard and Journey. Are you excited
about
that?
Is Steve Perry going to be there?
No Steve Perry.
Then no, I'm not
Sadly.
going.
Yeah.
No.
I could do it if Steve Perry was there.
I would go. Yeah, if Steve Perry were there, I would
be
go.
Right.
I
have a soft spot for Journey.
I have a soft spot for Def Leppard, too. Journey I love, and I think Neil Schon is an amazing guitarist.
Yeah, he's underrated,
actually. Yeah. And I think all the musicians in that band are really good.
Those guys, like, all backed Santana.
Right, exactly. Like, exactly.
The
two albums that Def Leppard did back to back,
Hysteria
and Pyromania. Okay. Those two, and I like
Adrenalize.
No, I like High and Dry.
Okay.
Before that, but
Let's Get Rocked.
Pyromania and Hysteria, I think are great records.
Hysteria is awesome.
It's John Mutt Lange.
I was just gonna say, is that when Mutt Lange entered the fold? Yeah.
I mean, he produced those records, two records, and they were. Impeccably produced.
And then, I'm always fascinated by stuff Mutt Lange produces because a lot of it sounds exactly the same.
Yes.
Like the Brian Adams Waking Up the Neighbors album sounds exactly like a Def Leppard album. It's the same drums. It's the same backing vocals.
Yeah.
You know immediately that Mutt Lange produced it.
Yeah. And it's odd that Shania Twain didn't sound like anything like that.
Well, that's true.
I have a soft spot in my heart. Those two records are great. Pyromania and Hysteria I love. Pyromania to me has a song because I think that there are perfect songs.
Okay,
there are certain songs. There's nothing wrong with them. They're absolutely perfect. They're great. They are perfect.
Photograph.
Yeah. It's perfect
awesome.
Pop song.
When that stuff it's no surprise that they're the one that like crossed over before everybody else.
Oh yeah,
to like major commercial success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because every song in the Hysteria
ear candy,
album,
man.
It's the same way.
It's
yeah.
ear candy.
Pour some sugar on me.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. And I saw them live for the Hysteria tour.
Oh, man.
And it was great.
See, I'm jealous of that.
Yeah, it was great.
I saw them. It just popped up in my Facebook feed, actually, 5 years ago. Poison, Def Leppard, and Lita Ford at Allstate Arena.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the other band, there's a country band playing at Wrigley, too. And
I can't remember who it is.
Who it is, or it's a country artist.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it is.
Well, then Fall Out Boy, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fall Out Boy and Rise Against, they added as the opener.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Boy, that's a big season.
That's a big venue for Fall Out Boy, too.
It is.
Huge venue for
them. They're local.
Yeah.
Or one of them is local.
They both, Rise Against is, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting. See what's coming up at Wrigley. Speaking of country real quick before we break, did you see SNL over the weekend?
I did not. Was it good?
Chris Stapleton.
I love Chris Stapleton. He was great last night, too.
He was great. Chris Stapleton, Sergio Simpson.
Yes.
Nobody said anything. All of a sudden, he's on stage.
Oh.
Like, what? They didn't even introduce him.
Okay.
They did the second song. Like, when Will Ferrell introduced him, he just said Chris Stapleton, but then there's Sturgill Simpson standing next to him, and you're
wow.
like, what in the hell is happening here?
I saw Sturgill last summer at Northerly.
Oh.
He was awesome.
And so they killed the first song. Then the second song, Will Ferrell introduced both of them.
Okay.
And they were on. So it was like a big surprise. It was great. It,
cool.
Both musical performances
right,
were great.
Look that up.
Yeah, look it up. It's phenomenal. Okay, Jim, hang on. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we got more concerts and stuff to talk about. Music, Jim Ryan. You can read him in the Daily Herald. The Chicago Now blog he has is Chicago at Night. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. More coming up after this on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How's everybody doing this morning? It's Tuesday. Get your requests in. Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about the greatest movie villains of all time. We got a celebrity name game coming up and more. 312-981-7200. My guest is Jim Ryan, who joins us to talk music. And you can read him in the Daily Herald and Chicago Now. He's got a blog called Chicago at Night. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. Jim, that was it was Take the Reins.
Fantastic suburban band.
Yeah.
Local band. They just put out their debut full-length album, Addiction by Subtraction.
We talked a little bit about this the last time you were here. Tell me about, you featured them in your blog.
Yeah, they had a show 2 weeks ago at Brower House in Lombard and did that album in full. They worked with Dan Precision from 88 Fingers Louie.
Mm.
They did some pre-production with Adam Cryer from AM Taxi and Lucky Boys Confusion. So they had, they took advantage of their friends there to help them out in the studio. But the finished product is pretty terrific.
That's great.
Yeah, so kind of the pop punk thing, but they also involve on that album a lot of different sounds. It kind of skews to rock. There's a little bit of almost kind of old country. It's
It's
pretty great, yeah.
That's really cool.
A solid local debut.
That's very, very cool. And what would they like to talk to you? Interview them?
Yeah, interviewed the whole band.
Yeah.
We talked about kind of the just the whole writing process going into that album. They've all been in different bands and kind of came together. This album is almost, I think they said, 6 years in the making, really.
Wow.
But it was it's pretty terrific, yeah. Addiction by Subtraction by Take the Reins.
Cool. All right. One of my favorite tweets that you put out there, which a lot of people commented on, not just you, but a lot of people, you know, put stuff up on social media about the fact that Shane McGowan made it to 60.
Oh, my God. How great was that?
And he's got teeth.
Did you see any of the highlights from the show?
No.
They did the whole concert for his 60th birthday, and he's there on stage in a wheelchair. Apparently, he broke his hip, which is like the least surprising thing ever.
I went to Guinness Fest.
Okay.
A bunch of years ago. It was about 100 degrees.
Oh, God.
Okay. And the only thing they had to drink was Guinness. Could you imagine drinking Guinness and it's 100 degrees outside?
Right.
Anyway, it was Shane McGowan solo.
Okay.
It wasn't the Pogues. I walk off to go to the can and the trailer that the band is in. Shane McGowan comes out and doesn't remember that there are steps. He opens the door, boom, face plants onto the ground. And I'm like, he's not going to make it through the show. He's just not. Because, you know, I've seen the Pogues a bunch of times.
Okay.
And you don't know what you're going to get. It's like going to see the Replacements.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
You don't know what you're going to get. Is he going to be able to do the
right.
show? Will he finish a verse and then run off to the side of stage and vomit?
Right.
And then possibly shoot up and then come back on stage?
Right.
So he made it, though. He face planted right into the ground. And so, but then he ended up doing the show, and it was actually a pretty good show.
You saw that happen, and I'm sure it was like
nothing.
Ah, of course,
did of
that.
Course, yeah. But I mean, Shane McGowan making it to 60 is pretty stunning.
I saw the Pogues in, I think it was 08. He had been out of the fold for a long time, and he came back in
Congress.
It was at the Riv.
Okay, I might have been at that one too, but
two
I know
nights at the Riv. And they went on late.
Okay.
And the rumor was because they couldn't find Shane, and he was down the street, God knows where, Green Mill, who knows. A lot of options over there for him. Yeah. And then he did exactly what you said. He would come on, and he would like sing two lines, and all of a sudden he would just disappear for two songs.
Yeah.
And you know,
no, that was a bit of his MO. He had to go. He was either drinking or vomiting. That was one of the two options at that point. But yeah, he's 60. God bless him.
Bono was there. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody was at the concert, but it was amazing to watch him sitting on stage in a wheelchair.
We went two shows in a row around 07-08 when they did that reunion tour.
Okay.
And these were at the Congress. My ex-wife and I went, and they were in great form.
The band sounds terrific, and then there's him.
Yeah. No, the band was amazing.
Yeah.
And he got through it. Shane got through it. And, you know, and he was better the second night than he was the first night.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But I just was beside myself getting able to see that band again
altogether. I had never
again.
Seen him.
That's the way to see him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they were amazing.
Yeah.
So he's 60 now. Wow.
That's unbelievable. Let's hope he sees 61.
Now, let me ask you a question here.
Sure.
I'm looking at some notes here.
Uh-oh.
You voted on whether the empty bottle should get a bidet. Can I explain?
Hey,
first of all,
they posted the poll. You know, I'm a man of the people. Like, I bring the music news to the people. I'm a conduit.
So the empty bottle is like, hey guys, how do you feel about a bidet? Do you think we should get a bidet in the empty bottle?
I like that they polled the audience. You know,
well,
if you have the option to do it, you might as well.
67% said yes. 38% said no. I'm with the yes.
I'm with the yes crowd.
I'm with the 67%. Absolutely.
And some of the people that go to empty bottle probably could use a bidet, quite frankly.
And some of the bands that play an empty bottle probably could use a bidet.
I'm thinking, why stop at the bidet? Throw a shower in there. By God.
I found that just weird.
Yeah.
So, all right. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees were announced since the last time you were here.
Tico Torres.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You're pulling Tico Torres out of that out of that equation.
Assuming his rightful position in the Hall of Fame.
Who else was inducted?
I stopped paying attention.
Because once Bon Jovi got nominated, I was like, what's coming up for you, Jimmy? You got shows coming up? Some stuff?
I don't have a ton of shows coming up, but I'm excited about some of the shows that have gotten announced for this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I saw today Roger Daltrey's doing two nights at Ravinia.
Is that right?
He's doing Tommy two nights. They just announced it.
Plant is doing a solo show, too.
Is he? Have they announced a venue yet?
I think it's the Riv. Yeah, it's the Riv. But Plant's doing a solo show,
too. Have you ever seen him solo?
No.
He's fantastic.
I saw the Honey Drippers.
Okay.
I saw Zeppelin in the heyday.
I saw Plant open for The Who in Tinley. And he was awesome.
No, I saw the Honey Drippers, and I saw Zeppelin twice.
You saw Zeppelin twice?
75, wow. 77.
Okay.
They were great in 75. They were horrible in 77.
Wow.
Page was so messed up, he had to do it on a folding chair. He had to do the show on a folding chair. And and everybody on the stage was loaded except for John Paul Jones, who was just mad.
Is that better or worse than Shane McGowan in a wheelchair?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Shane McGowan in a wheelchair. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with that being better. And then I saw The Firm.
Okay.
That's not Robert Plant, right. But I saw The Firm a couple of times.
Okay. I've never seen Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page is the one I want to see.
Page, yeah, Page. No. And then I saw them when they...
The Black Crowes?
No. The tour with just the two of them, with Plant and Page.
Oh, okay.
But they weren't with the Black Crowes.
Right.
But yeah, I saw that tour, too.
Okay.
So I've seen Page a bunch of times, and Plant a bunch of times. So,
nice.
Yeah, man. All right, well, listen, man, lots of cool stuff coming up. People can follow you on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan.
Yes.
You can read them in the Daily Herald, your Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. And you'll continue to see shows, and we'll get you in here in a little while and talk more music.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jim. Thanks, buddy. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.